Is the Lord among us or not? It seems like a funny thing to say, or maybe even a dangerous question to ask, like you may be struck down by lightning or something. But don't pretend like you haven't asked it, or even at least thought it. You can't look at society these days, or any day in the past, really, and not question whether God has abandoned his people. That he just sits up in heaven and has just washed his hands of us all. Wars, plagues, sickness, disease, hunger, crime, rape, killing, abuse, and well, do I really need to go on? Is the Lord among us or not? If we as God's elect suffer much the same as unbelievers, then what's the point, really? And that is the question the people of Israel were asking in the Old Testament lesson for today. Is the Lord among us or not? They had no water to drink. They were in the wilderness in a place called Rephidim, which translated means uninhabited place. Had the Lord led them all the way out of Egypt to this desolate spot in some elaborate ruse so that they, men, women, children, and livestock, could just die of thirst? In our last Wednesday night Lenten worship service, our Promised Treasures theme was water. In the sermon, we discussed the importance not only of food for sustaining the body, but more importantly, water. We can live 30 or 40 days without food, but only about 3 days without water. In Exodus chapter 15, the Israelite people had just camped by this fantastic spot, a place called Elim, where there were 12 springs of water, one for each of the 12 tribes. Now they were in this nowhere camp, where there was no water, and they were thirsty. And they were getting a bit grumpy, so grumpy, in fact, that they were ready to stone Moses for his part in this charade. I have to say that the complaints of the Israelites seemed reasonable. Or do they? Maybe we should look at the real story of what has happened with these Israelite people, God's treasured possession. The Israelite people were in slavery to the Egyptians, yet they prospered because God had favored them. The Israelite people were spared when the Egyptians were attacked by the plagues because they were God's people. The Israelites ate the Passover, spread the blood of the lamb over their doorpost, and their firstborn were spared, while all of Egypt cried in agony because they were God's people. When the Pharaoh finally relented, God led him himself by pillars of cloud and fire out of Egypt. As Pharaoh and his vast army pursued the Israelites, God, through Moses, parted the Red Sea so they could pass through to the other side on dry ground. He then caused the sea to come crashing down on the Egyptian army, killing them all. God protects them because they are God's treasured possession. They leave the Red Sea and walk out into the wilderness, and for 3 days they have no water. They come to Marah, and it has water, but it is bitter and undrinkable. God changes the water to become sweet so the people could drink because they are God's treasured possession. But what about food? Now their supply has run out. God sends them bread from heaven in the morning, manna, and quail in the evening, meat. God has met every need of his beloved people, and yet, they have the nerve to ask, is the Lord among us or not? Would you be offended right now if I called you an Israelite? I would be offended. I'm nothing like the Israelites. Or am I? We must admit, we've all asked this very same question. Is the Lord among us or not? Our sinfulness, our self-centeredness, our short memories of what God has done and continues to do for us labels us Israelites all day long. Still, we must be asking ourselves, what has God done for me? What has God done for us lately? Well, let's zoom out and let's look at the big picture, what theologians call first article stuff, because it's covered in the first article of the Apostles' Creed. Have you ever wondered what might happen if God would take his eye off the ball, this ball we call Earth, just for a second, or maybe a minute? If he decided to take, say, an hour off for lunch. Luther, in his Large Catechism, has this wonderful explanation to this when he talks about the first article. Now, we all know the words to the Apostles' Creed, but just in case and to refresh your memory, it goes like this. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Short and sweet. But what do we actually mean when we recite these words? Luther writes that God has given and constantly preserves for me my body and soul and life, my members, great and small, all my senses, reason and understanding, and so on. He gives me food and drink, clothing and support, wife and children, domestic servants, house and home, and more. Besides, he causes all created things to serve for the uses and necessities of life. This includes the sun, moon, stars in the heavens, day and night, air, fire, water, earth, and whatever it bears and produces. They include birds and fish, beasts, grain, and all kinds of produce. They also include whatever else there is for bodily and temporal goods, such as good government, peace, and security. So we learn from this article that none of us owns for himself nor can preserve his life nor anything that is here listed or can be listed. This is so true that no matter how small or unimportant a thing it might be, for all is included in the word creator. The big picture we forget is that God is sustaining the cosmos, the planet, life on Earth as a whole, and us individually. If he stopped or just stopped preserving the world and all that was in it just for a second, it would fall apart. And the results would be catastrophic. Even the air that we breathe, the next breath that we take, is a gift from God. Of course, believers and unbelievers, Israelites and Egyptian, we all breathe that same air. Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount preaches that God makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and the unjust. This act of kindness is to lead all to faith in him as he wants all to come to the knowledge of the truth. From 1 Timothy chapter 2. And to pay for the sin that mankind has and will commit, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to live among us, to live as a man among men, to die in our place on a cross on Calvary. He was the Lord among us, though God's people rejected him. He died and was buried, but he rose again on the third day and was among us for 40 days until he ascended to the to the Father, but promised to be among us always to the very end of the age. This is what we confess in the second article of the Apostles' Creed. The Lord was among them. Those that believe, that come to faith through the work of the Holy Spirit, do so because Christ is among them in word and sacrament. God, the Holy Spirit, uses the gift of faith, bringing the life-giving word to those who have no life in them at all, making the blind see and the deaf hear. He does so through the Holy Christian Church and other believers who tell the good news of Jesus Christ, born, died, and rose again for the forgiveness of sins. All of this so that we who are united with him in our baptism and into his death and resurrection may live with him unto eternal life. This is what we confess in the third article of the Apostles' Creed. Is the Lord among us or not? He is here in the invocation and in the sign of the cross. He is here in the forgiveness of sins. He is here in the reading of the word, in the preaching of the law and the gospel, in the creeds that we confess. He is here in the bread and the wine, that is his body and his blood, in the communion of the saints. He is here in the hymns that we sing, in the liturgy that we use, in the prayers that we say. He is here in the benediction, in the fellowship of the believers, in the smiles, in the laughter, in the pain, in the tears. He is here because we are joined to him in the water and in the word. He is here. We never have to ask that question. You never have to wonder. He is here. Sometimes we just need to be reminded just how extensive God's love really is. No one likes to be called an Israelite, yet we too at times have short memories. We forget the blessings of yesterday and we wonder, is the Lord among us or not? Or we forget some of the basic things that God provides for us, big picture items like keeping the world spinning or keeping the sun just the right distance away, or the gift of the next breath of air. It's easy for us to take God's love for granted or forget that he is always there for us. So we wonder, is the Lord here among us or not? We forget he's just as close as our Bible and the Holy Spirit that lives right here within us. But I think I'll let Jesus have the final answer to this question. The last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew are these: "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen."